are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay originally aired on October 31st, 2003.
This is an archival Nature of Things episode, first aired on November 13th, 1992. Every season has its pivotal events, and at this moment each year, I look out across the fields and woodlands with mixed emotions. Sorry to see the green and gold and scarlet and all those intermediate shades of the living spectrum drift away, but content to realize that there is purpose, biologists call it function, even in their demise. Leaves, surprisingly elaborate fabrications of spring's first burst of life, are slowly defabricated by a reciprocal process known to late autumn as to no other season. The leaves will find their resurrection a year or more hence, when the products of their decomposition are taken up by the hungry roots of tree or shrub or herb to build a new green life. What reassurance there is in this. It might even be said to have a magical dimension, but that's not the way I read it. What I see in it is creative genius. Have you stopped to think of late how important to us is this heritage of life replenishment? It is the means of our survival. Without it, we would have a dead planet. How short-sighted to place it in a blender with economy and lifestyle. It's that amalgam spread across the earth that could cancel life, if we grow careless. Enough of that. You may have to search a bit in that verbal debris to find the blessing, but it's there someplace. Falling leaves also produce another kind of liberation that can be surpassingly instructive if we allow. Like the last chapter, perhaps even the last paragraph of a good mystery novel, bare branches and withered weeds provide answers to 1,000 questions. November's dialogue, as I have said before, is full of brief history lessons, some of them in answer to questions that have plagued us throughout the summer, others that spring upon us without warning. My first hummingbird's nest was such a revelation. It was only 6 or 7 feet above the ground in a pear tree at the west side of our pear orchard. I discovered it quite by chance in a tree I had climbed more than once that year as I monitored a kingbird's nest. At the time, I was surprised to think that two such pugnacious nest protectors could have shared such proximity. I'm not sure they did. A well-used hummingbird's nest can be a pretty bedraggled affair, and all those years ago I was not able to determine the age of the hummingbird's nest. It might have been built the previous season. It retained enough of its exquisite workmanship to strike this young birdwatcher with profound awe. Had I ventured out to collect the used kingbird's nest while the leaves were still on the trees, I would never have found the hummingbird's nest. In similar manner, I have found several indigo bunnings' nests, peewee's nest, and once a redstart's nest on the top of a sapling I had passed under at least 12 times when the nest should have been occupied. That was a surprise. Redstarts are not that secretive about their nest locations, and I'm somewhat of a redstartophile, if you know what I mean. The point of this is to suggest that the fall environment, the late fall, that is, when most, if not all, of the bright color has gone, is an open book full of choice reading. It's a mistake, too, to presume that all of its revelations are historic. I know a place with an almost blessed exposure to Skaneateles Lake, where you have to wait for a calm winter day to see the sun set in the lake. You can't even see the lake until the leaves have fallen. There are vistas at Baltimore Woods that are fully as seasonal. In summer, a green screen restricts the vision to 50 feet, but on a winter day, you can view the hills beyond through the gray filigree of maple, beech, and basswood twigs. One cold November, I sat for nearly a half hour watching a pileated woodpecker foraging through the pockmarked crown of an overmature basswood. The thing is that I was sitting on a prostrate log viewing the whole episode at eye level through the filigree. From June through October, when the foliage was still in place, I might have known the bird was there, but I wouldn't have been able to see him. November speaks to us through the pages of its open book, and its language is rich and rewarding. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week, and keep it natural.